there's a lot of despair and there's a lot of anxiety. And I think aside from just holding on to hope is thinking about how we can turn that hope into action.
This is Read the Room. We're your hosts, Alex Gonzalez
and Angel Medina. I think it's important that we set the room because you can't read the room if you don't set it. So, brief history. At the ACLU of Arizona, we are committed to defending the rights and freedoms of all Arizonans. Our work encompasses a wide range of issues, from fighting for fair treatment by the government to protecting LGBTQ plus people from discrimination. We also advocate for equal rights for LGBTQ plus Arizonans and their families so that everyone can live openly, safely, and with dignity. And yet, we know that despite this work, many don't feel safe in our state.
Yeah, such an important point to highlight. You know, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't acknowledge that safety isn't experienced equally across our community. Different members of the LGBTQ plus community hold varying levels of privilege, which can ultimately shape how safe and comfortable they feel in their daily lives and their communities and interacting with others as well. You know, I think this is especially prevalent for trans individuals, LGBTQ plus people of color, immigrants, as well as young people in particular. The stakes can really be pretty high.
Yeah. And I think for some people, we might forget sometimes that we are in Arizona and it is a little yeehaw. It is a little bit of the Wild West for many reasons. Our state tends to be very centrist and often unpredictable when it comes to politics and our political makeup. We can take the 2024 general election as an example. Voters approved a measure to enshrine abortion protections into our state constitution and rejected the extreme candidates, but at the same time, candidates who ran on platforms that suppressed civil rights and liberties secured powerful seats across our state. So at the state legislature and at the local level, it seems like we tend to be able to really reject those extremist talking points and candidates. But in other regards, like, I think it sways back and forth.
So specifically in regards to our state legislature, another important point to highlight is that because of the slim majority in both the House and the Senate, some of the proposals that have moved forward are specifically targeting LGBTQ plus people, especially trans folks. I think that's something, and trans youth, that's something that really came to light during this legislative session. And so these proposals have included efforts to ban the use of young people's chosen names and gender pronouns, restrict bathroom access, and bar transgender students and athletes from participating in school sports. So we'll dive into those proposals at a later date and in a future episode. But needless to say, they are deeply problematic and just like outright discriminatory.
Another thing to note as well is that since being elected in 2022, Governor Katie Hobbs has been a critical safeguard in throwing out anti-LGBTQ plus legislation. But again, because of that sway and that back and forth in our political standing as a state, nothing is ever certain, especially in an election year like this one. And communities shouldn't have to rely on one person's signature to ensure their well-being and safety. Like, that should be a priority. And this brief and recent history is only a glimpse into why Arizona is such a complicated place politically. And that was just in the last 2 years. That was just the last two legislative sessions, what we've seen, what we know. So that's just the last 2 years.
There is this tension between progress and backlash, hope and resistance, inclusion and exclusion. And those sorts of dichotomies, I think, is what really led to the creation of this podcast. Because while it might feel like certain lawmakers are doing everything they can to target queer Arizonans, we know that there's also really powerful and resilient voices that are pushing back in the ways that they can and trying to be as effective as they can. I think in each episode, what we're going to really strive to do is speaking to people who are living these experiences on a day in and day out basis. So speaking with advocates, community members, organizers, and experts who bring that lived experience and that knowledge to these conversations. So together we'll explore how policy decisions and political debates are actually being felt throughout Arizona's queer communities.
Which I think is a perfect segue, Alex. I think that with that in mind, this podcast is about digging into these issues, having honest conversations, and uplifting the voices of the people who are shaping the future of the LGBTQ plus rights and advocacy in our state. So on that note, let's read the room and get into it.
Let's do it. The first question: Arizona can sometimes feel like a complicated or hard place to be queer? Where do you personally go, whether it's a certain space or you look for a certain person or lean into a community? Where do you find that sense of belonging or hope?
A bit of background, I did grow up in a very Christian household, so it was like very taboo. I didn't like actually come out, I was outed. So it was weird. It was like finding a space to feel safe and like belonging. I think it was a lot of media. So like I did find a lot of hope and belonging in pop girlies. You know, it's rumored within the community that at 13, every gay man is assigned a pop icon. Mine was Beyonce. But aside from that, just social media felt like a very safe space growing up. It was like, oh, like I don't have to talk to anyone about anything. I can just digest this information and feel like, oh yeah, I can relate to what's happening in the media, what's happening on social media. But as I grew up and was more open with who I was and felt more like I was able to step out into the community, I think drag has been very, like, it's great to see a lot of drag performers here in Phoenix. I think also just reading a lot of like LGBTQ plus books, a lot of LGBTQ plus media has just been very given that sense of belonging. I think also friends, chosen family is really big. I know that's like very cliche, but I think it's a cliche because it's very real. You find your friends, you find the people that you feel close to, even if maybe it's not your immediate family. And I think that gives me a lot of hope because even in moments when things feel hard, like at the Arizona legislature, there's always people coming out. There's always community showing up and saying, hey, we're here. And not just we're here to stand up against this, but we're here together. And like, you can see if you're part of this community, we're here to defend your rights. We're here to stand up against this.
I mean, you hit it right on the nail. I know that we share some of those same kind of similar, just like circumstances growing up. I mean, I also grew up in a pretty conservative Latino household. And I feel like there are just certain things that are talked about more openly and freely. But I think having certain people that I could lean on within my family that were also gay and kind of had already understood what that kind of entailed was really, really beneficial. So that was kind of like within my family. And then looking outwards and looking to community similarly, I think where I find this sense of belonging and hope and prosperity is like, for instance, when I go to a drag show or to like a drag brunch and I forget all the shenanigans that are happening in the real world for a couple of minutes, and I'm just able to really enjoy the performance and see these queens just like absolutely serving and doing the most, which is great. And I genuinely just feel like those are some of the moments where I feel the happiest and feel in community and feel seen and don't feel like I have to put on this front. Additionally, I would say when I was younger and coming to terms with myself as an individual, I think just having, as you were mentioning, just whether it be TV shows or movies or books, and while they may not be perfect and can sometimes, you know, stereotype or generalize a community, I think that just having those points of contact with that sort of media that kind of helps validate what you're feeling or maybe what you're going through is definitely just so important. And then the last thing that I just want to bring up is, as a journalist, I think it is awesome and just amazing that Arizona has a journalistic outlet that is devoted to covering and reporting and investigating on queer issues. So for those of you that don't know, look out. I think as a journalist, I just really appreciate the nuance and the journalistic integrity that they bring to the table. And so, yeah, that was just me as kind of a former reporter, just being really stoked about that.
Yes, I love it. Having an outlet where like the focus is like, let's amplify these voices again. Like, I think for people who may not have the freedom to be open and loud about who they are, like being able to have that where you can hear the voices of other people that are like you is very important. So shout out to Lookout.
Yes, shout out to Lookout.
When you look at where LGBTQ plus rights stand in Arizona right now, what gives you the most concern and what gives you the most hope?
I think what gives me the most concern is just the sort of villainization, the criminalization of queer people, queer identities, specifically, you know, our trans brothers and sisters. I think it's totally unjust. So I think that is one area, and that's just not solely specific to Arizona. We're seeing that across the nation. And so I think that is really one point that is at the forefront for me, is how can we show up and how can we help fight back against those egregious attempts by the state legislature and lawmakers to further erode the rights of LGBTQ plus people. I think what gives me hope right now is just leaning on community, seeing the power and mobilization and engagement within the community. I think it's powerful and it's moving. And through this job, I think I've gotten to really understand and get to know some of those people. What about you?
I think what gives me the most concern, I was going to say our state legislature. Sometimes I open the Arizona news, I'm like, oh my gosh. But I think what is sometimes even more concerning is those local and rural communities where it's a smaller government, and we see it sometimes at the county level. You know, they're trying to ban books. They're trying to limit this media that I think can be a safe space for younger queer folks to go and feel a sense of belonging. I think that can be concerning because for a lot of people, sometimes not finding belonging either means like hiding even more, or, you know, we see in the queer community sometimes a lot of self-harm, and that is very concerning to me. I think what gives me hope, though, is there are still advocates in our community, whether they're part of advocacy groups or not, who are standing up and saying, hey, this isn't okay. And I think our community, not just here in Arizona, but the LGBTQ+ community in general, tends to be very resilient. And that resilience in our community gives me a lot of hope.
I think that's a great point, because this isn't the first time that we've been here, even though sometimes I have to remind myself of that a lot of the times. Like, we've faced discrimination, oppression, like we've faced all these things in the past, and we're here. We're still here. So I think just being mindful of that and continuing to have that sort of drive and mentality can be helpful in these heavy, disheartening times. Looking back, what moments stand out to you as significant for Arizona's LGBTQ+ community, whether it made headlines or not? And I guess what has shifted since then?
I think I was thinking about this question because we did prepare before this. Had a couple of things. I think the first one, seeing more legislators at the Arizona State Capitol that look like us or identify as similar identities as some of us in the LGBTQ+ community, I think has been very important, because even sometimes when things do pass, I know that there's legislators there on the Senate floor, on the House floor, advocating for our rights. So that's been a very, I think, big shift and a sense of hope that I think has been very big for the LGBTQ+ community in Arizona. And then the second one did make a lot of headlines. I mean, the first one did as well. There was legislators who were on Teen Vogue, which I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. But the second one I think made a lot of noise was the passing of Prop 139 and the abortion access being enshrined into our Arizona Constitution. And while I think at the surface level, like, it may not seem like, oh, like, how does that relate to the LGBTQ+ community? I think at its core, the fight for Prop 139 was about bodily autonomy and whether or not the government can tell you what you can do with your body. And I think that relates back to our trans siblings in the LGBTQ+ community. A lot of the debate is whether young trans people can access medical assistance to transition. Now we're seeing it for adults as well, but I think it gave me a lot of hope to see that our community in Arizona could come together. Like, the government shouldn't tell us what to do with our bodies. In my head, in my brain, it makes sense that we transition that same messaging and that same mentality to issues that affect our trans siblings.
I feel like there's so much focus put on Tucson and Phoenix, right, which is where we're both at. But there are queer Arizonans in rural parts of the state that are doing what they can to cultivate that sense of community that we've been talking about. And so I read several accounts of just like how people are going about doing that. And I think that that is just amazing and can't be overlooked, because there's a lot more to explore.
Yes.
So that is one thing that also gives me hope, is just how those folks are kind of doing with what they have to cultivate that sense of community, belonging, and resilience as well.
I think this is our last question. What do you want our listeners to carry with them? If someone queer in Arizona is listening to you right now, what do you want them to hear as we embark on this journey?
What I really hope that we're able to showcase through Read the Room is how nuanced LGBTQ+ life and queerness in general is. I think a lot of the times I feel like we are siloed, or we're kind of like set to one side. It's like, oh, they have their own baggage, their own things to deal with. When in reality, I think it is so deeply connected and embedded with just all the other issues that we work on, which I think is something that I'm excited to dive deeper into and really show our audience how the infringement on other rights directly impacts LGBTQ plus people, and sometimes even with greater intensity. What about you?
I think something I want our listeners to carry with them, like if there's someone queer in Arizona, now is the time to like hold on to hope. But also there's a lot of despair and there's a lot of anxiety. I think aside from just holding on to hope is thinking about how we can turn that hope into action. How can you combat these narratives and this rhetoric that's anti-LGBTQ plus, anti-trans? And I know that can be hard, but it's doable. And if you're hearing this podcast and you feel like you want to take action, but you don't know how to, plug into your community, plug into the ACLU of Arizona. We have amazing organizers who are ready to help you take action. And even if you maybe don't want to connect with our organizers or connect with people and you feel maybe a little bit more introverted, there are tools, there's information that you can use to take action. I hear a lot of people on social media, because I'm like chronically online, there is a sense of like anxiety, and I know people want to take action, but sometimes it's like, how do I do it? You know, it can be a little scary, but it's doable. And there's a community who wants to help you take action.
While the thread running through every episode, as we've previously mentioned, will be the experiences and perspectives of LGBTQ plus Arizonans, we're excited once again to explore and dive deeper into a wider range of issues that intersect with our community, because queerness, as if it hasn't been made clear, queerness doesn't exist in a vacuum.
Yeah, like you're saying, our lives overlap with so many other things, like civic engagement, politics, immigration, work, education, culture, and underscoring these connections helps us get a better sense of what is really happening in Arizona. So what does that mean for this podcast? It means that we'll talk about things like harmful ballot referrals and what they could mean for real people. We'll break down First Amendment issues and how certain proposals could threaten drag performances and creative expression in our state.
We'll also be looking at workplace discrimination and what protections LGBTQ plus employees do or don't have. We'll explore the complicated intersection of immigration and immigrant identity and LGBTQ plus identities, and kind of what that means and how to navigate these two systems that weren't built with certain people in mind. And of course, as it is an election year, we'll also be talking about voting, civic engagement, the importance of representation, as we previously touched on, because we know that who holds power and who has a seat at the table has a direct impact on all these issues that we're going to be talking about.
Oh my gosh. As we were reading through this list, I realized there's a lot to unpack. But that is the point. Arizona, like we said at the beginning, is complicated. There's that back and forth in our political makeup and the communities that make up Arizona. So those are the conversations that need to be had.
Whether you're deeply involved in advocacy or just getting started or wanting to pay attention to what's happening, I think it's important to say that that is all okay. There's a place for you, and we're glad that you're here. More than anything, I think we hope that that Read the Room is really a space to learn and just like have an exchange. And it's okay if we don't know all the answers.
Until next time, remember, you have rights. Make sure you know them.